We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I mean, I just didn't think that he would be so sure of his answer with Colin Sexton, because if I feel like so many people locally are kind of still like haven't made up their mind one way or another. He's like, no, you got to sign and trade him. I just don't know how you can, if you're the Cavs, how you can even consider keeping Colin Sexton. It kind of caught me off guard a little bit, if I'm going
to
be honest.
Yeah, that's surprising to me too, because I want to keep Colin Sexton.
I feel like everyone learns.
I want to see what Colin Sexton can be.
I think there's a lot of people that are very curious to find out what exactly Colin, like, we need a walking bucket, don't we? I think we know that. There were plenty of times this play-in game, and then also the two play-in games, and also the late part of the season where we just couldn't score. We just need somebody that could put the ball in the hoop and make it work, and it's just not, I don't know. I don't know about that one with McDonough. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I hear what he's saying, but I feel like this team, unless someone gives him some astronomical, you know, figure in restricted free agency here that you're not going to match.
Yeah, which doesn't seem likely.
It does not seem likely.
No. By the way, I don't know how he has.
He's coming off an injury, by the way.
Yeah. No, he's not. He is very low value to the open market. Well, what's a sign and trade even look like for Colin Sexton? I just don't see it right now. But he also then kind of rained on our parade a little bit. He was so good, though. I want to make that clear. Ryan McDonough was very, very good with us there. He said the Luka pick is not true. It's not real. I'm not seeing anywhere where anyone has confirmed for me that he is not in the Bay Area having himself a cold one for lunch while also then getting ready to go play game one. Like, would that be that unheard of, Dustin, to be like having a day beer?
He's not getting
wasted out there. Yeah. What do you got?
Luka Doncic from the Mavericks says the beer photo is old. Star is not, this is from TMZ. No, Luka Doncic is not pounding cold ones before Dallas's huge playoff game against the Warriors. The photo of the star with the beer is making its rounds on social media today. It's an old pic.
I want it to be true, though. Can't we live in a world where I just want it to be true? What's a beer going to do for you at noon if you have to go ahead and play at 9 o'clock at night? Doesn't hurt you at all.
No, I mean, listen, some people drink, cold beer with lunch and doesn't affect you at all. Have a glass of wine.
Some people also play sporting events while hammered, and it works out mighty well.
Guys have played
sporting. David Wells has pitched a perfect game while completely hungover.
Yeah, guys, in baseball.
Doc Ellis pitched a perfect game on LSD. Yeah, that was part of it. It was
like part of the whole Terry Francona of baseball.
Terry Francona had the whole outs with Boston because everyone was eating chicken wings and drinking
and
beer. Yeah, they're like, oh, well, he's lost the clubhouse. I was like, he's never had that clubhouse more in order in my life. I was like, he's doing a great job, I think.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's funny thinking about that and then thinking of the way that we think about like Tito now, and it's like that story, it just works. It adds up.
About baseball players, it's like, maybe I'm judgmental, but like when I watch baseball players, I look at their physique, and so many of them, they're just chubby, and they just drink beer every day.
They still
play the game at a high level.
There was a Reddit
forum. I wonder
how
much better they could be if they actually took care of their bodies.
Well, some of them do.
I'm not denigrating all baseball players.
I'm going to slap this down for a second. This is easy, because I was thinking about this with Owen Miller last night. Owen Miller hit the home run in the ninth inning, and at one point my mind was like, he looks like the stereotypical 90s, like MLB 99 with Cal Ripken Jr. on the cover. He looks like that prototype, because his swing is just so fundamentally sound, and he himself just looks so. But I promise you that Owen Miller without a baseball uniform looks jacked. Baseball uniforms give nothing in the way of making anyone look like they're in shape.
I mean,
they're extremely friendly to the bigger fellow.
Right, but they also, I don't know. I mean, I feel like if these guys were wearing like tight uniforms, like a football uniform where the jersey's super tight around your waist, or like even in the NBA, you know, guys wearing a tank top and now that they're wearing the short shorts again, you can sort of see guys' bodies. The MLB uniforms, you can hide.
That's what I'm saying. So I feel like a lot of them are in better shape than maybe we give the
I think worse shape, frankly.
You think if they were wearing Under Armor or like the skin tight is what I'm talking about. The
guys wear at the NFL Combine.
Thank you. Yeah.
You would be looking at these guys thinking, my God, how are these professional athletes? Now, not all of them. There are like the Mike Trouts of the world. There are
Mike Trout's in really good shape.
I mean, there's a lot of guys out there who are in great
shape.
You think
like per average though? Per average Freak. Though, you feel like maybe they're not
especially
not
relief
the best
pitchers.
Yet. Well, relief pitchers because they don't do that much.
I know
they play
but
long.
You,
they
but
play long
still,
toss.
You're a professional run a little bit. Athlete.
I think that's a part I've always loved about baseball.
That you don't have to be in great shape.
Well,
to
no,
play.
I mean I was a bowler, right? You don't have to be in great shape to do that.
Clearly not.
You know what I mean? there's sports you can get away with it more than others. I keep thinking about Brandon Guyer in this entire discussion. Brandon Guyer. Because, you know, there was times where I'd go into the Indians clubhouse back in the day. I don't mm-hmm. really go much to the ballpark and do that anymore. I do from time to time, but it's been a while. COVID kind of kept me away from all that, and I haven't made my way back over yet. But, like, there was a time where I liked hanging out, and I just – because I thought it's cool to go to a baseball clubhouse. I don't know. Whatever. I thought it's fun. Brandon Guyer, though, looks like a very normal person in the uniform. In the clubhouse, obviously, they get undressed and they have to change their other clothes and everything. And I'm telling you, he looked like an Adonis. He was so ripped, and he looked like he was going for like the Arnold Strongman competitions, you know. And you never would have known it. You would have thought that he was just kind of like all right, he doesn't look like there's anything special to him as far as strength or anything. Get the jersey off. Really impressive as far as how strong he was. So I think baseball does that. Baseball leads itself to that. But I think with the NBA, you know, LeBron. Famously, eats all sorts of junk food, right? Like he says, he spends $1 million a year on his body or whatever. But we've heard the stories of all the different junk food he eats, all the bad things he eats. Like, so what? If Luka wants to have a beer 9 hours before an NBA game, why is everyone clutching their pearls and getting mad about it? Not gonna get drunk. He's not out here having like 75 of them and doing shots in the corner with anyone that wants to come up and say hi. He's having a beer. Hanging out, eating lunch. No big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal either, but I probably wouldn't do that. And again, he's not. This is an old picture.
Yeah, I know. But like, think about, are they just trying to run away from the stories we used to have in the 90s where like MJ, 1992 finals, or I'm sorry, Eastern game? Conference finals. Yeah, before he took on the Knicks in the Eastern Conference finals, was out in Atlantic City until like 4 a.m. drinking. Gambling, and then turned around and scored, you know, dropped 40 on the Knicks like it was nothing. I think that stuff adds to the lore of the athlete. I think that I like those stories. I like, because part of being an athlete that I think is so cool is being subhuman, right? Or being above humans in a lot of ways as far as for what you can do that other humans can't do. I don't know. Just something to think about.
It is funny, you know, like my college roommate who was actually at Ashland University prior to he transferred to Ohio State. He played football at Ashland, and he told me this one story about his teammate who was totally just basically hammered on a Saturday morning after a Friday night before the game.
Yeah.
That's Division II football. But the dude went out and had, I think he said 4 or 5 touchdown runs, running back. He ran for like 200 and some yards and was just tanked. Yeah. So you can get through it. I'm sure Jordan's been through it many times. I'm sure
Jordan's
a lot of guys
done it.
Dude, these outside of like football is the one sport where you're kind of on lock. There's one game a week, and on Saturday nights you're pretty much on lockdown, so you're not really can't really go out unless you drink it by yourself in your hotel room.
And alcohol probably doesn't mix well with Toradol or anything either, right?
No, of course not. Although we do have
you like want to have fun.
Although you did hear the story about Marshawn Lynch, he was on with Peyton Manning on one of his shows, the Peyton Places.
The Manning cast or just Peyton?
Okay. Peyton's Place, I think. Yeah. And he was saying that, and I don't remember him doing this. Maybe he just did it on the side in the locker room, but he would take a shot or two of Hennessy prior to every game.
To warm up, right?
To warm up.
I think his thought process was, yeah, I'm going to warm up. It's going to get the blood flowing a little bit. I'm going to warm me up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
At least there was like a thought process behind that, though. Although I don't think I could not run on one or two shots of Hennessy. I don't know if I could run on one or two shots of anything is what I'm saying. I don't know that I could do that. I think that would just be very tough for me. But I'm not also a professional athlete. I feel like you being a pro athlete, I feel like you guys can get away with more things than like me, the average athletic human, can get away with. And that's what makes these stories so fun to me. That's what I like about these stories.
Dude, when I was playing tennis, well, back when I was drinking, today is my 30th day of no booze. Thank you.
Congratulations.
On all my success.
Yeah. I stopped myself short, but yeah.
No, I actually feel great. I'm telling you, it's like the best decision I've ever made.
Told you, you look great.
Thank you.
You sound great.
Skin feels good, looks good.
Anyway, I
would take a shot before I play a tennis match just to like relax my
nerves. To calm the nerves?
My nerves, yeah.
We got a big match tomorrow. Are you going to take a shot before that one?
No, I'm not drinking right now.
Is it going to break you? Get you? Is it off the wagon? Is it on the wagon? I'm never entirely sure.
I don't really know either, but it doesn't matter. I'm just not really drinking.
Let me ask you something really quick.
I kind of like it.
We're going to get to the NIL and is Ohio making a mistake not getting on board in moments, but you told me you got some fans coming tomorrow to watch this event.
Not fans. I've got a couple of friends that are just going to come out and kind of watch the match and have dinner.
But you're nervous, though, is what you said.
No, not for them to watch, not at all.
Okay, just nervous
I'm
for the match.
I'm nervous because I'm playing singles tomorrow night.
Because in my mind, I thought it was really kind of... I thought it was funny that somebody that's played in front of 100,000 people would then get nervous if their friends came out and watched them play a sporting event.
Jonathan, we've talked about this before. I get nervous on the golf course when strangers watch you tee off on the opening tee box. That is way more nerve-wracking
than
any...
Why is that such a nerve-wracking thing? Why is that?
It is for you, too.
Of course. It's nervous for everyone.
My point is, like, I'm more nervous on...
That's a good point.
...the golf course teeing off when I've got people watching me. More nervous than probably playing in front of 100,000 fans at the Horseshoe.
No way.
Yeah, it's different. You got a helmet on. You're with your teammates. You know, no one, you don't really think about the crowd that much. It's different on the golf course. And in tennis, like we play our club championships in the summertime, end of summer, we get people that come out. Like there may be 7,500 people that spectators that watch these matches and they love them. They cheer, whatever. And then like, you know, when you're serving, you get a little nervous.
It's an egg on the face moment if you just butcher it.
Well, two years ago, I was playing the club championship and I'm serving doubles. I'm serving for the match to win the club championship, and double fault.
Were you more nervous in that moment than taking on Michigan at the Big?
Oh, absolutely,
really,
100%.
Not as nervous as the national title game, maybe though.
No, I wasn't nervous that game at all.
Really?
No, not
is
at
it
all.
Just because you were
I never
you were doing it?
You get nervous playing football, and a lot of people who've played sports certainly, even it doesn't matter. Even in high school, you play sports, you get nervous, and then you have the first hit, first tackle. And then you're just like over it. Once you get the first little taste.
It's like you've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, right? Like it's something you've done before.
Nothing made me more nervous, though, than track and field and getting in the blocks for the 100-meter dash. That was probably one of the most nervous things athletically I've ever experienced.
Because you could stumble out of it or what?
No, it's you. You're racing seven other dudes. And it's just, if you don't win or you don't run well, it's on you. Which is why I get nervous about singles tennis and golf. There's no one else. There's no teammates.
Well, you were on an island when you're a cornerback, too, in many ways. Yeah, you know, yeah. You got some, like, time, you know, prime
but
time.
But I also had a three-time All-American playing safety behind me.
You did have a safety net. Yeah,
you did have a safety net. Although Doss was a freelancer, so
did you ever get burned?
I didn't have him back.
Did you ever get burned and then just look back and be like, oh, thank God. Okay.
Oh, yeah, speaking of this, Keith, did you hear this morning? Lima taking shots at me.
You took shots?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, Keith just nods his
yeah,
because Keith texted
me. I hear 99% of the show.
Keith, you texted me
like 95% of the show, and I missed it this morning.
Keith texted me at 9:20, and I'm just heading to the gym. And Keith is like, hey, at 9:40, they're going to talk about this. So I turn on the deal. And they didn't talk about me until like the end of the segment, so I couldn't really call in, Keith. So I was going to, but I didn't.
I know.
All right, well, here's your chance. Go ahead.
But Lima takes a shot at me. He's like, "Yeah, it was the one game where Braylon Edwards burnt Dustin Fox." I have a rebuttal to that because yes, Braylon did burn me in 2004 for a touchdown. It was the only time I had a touchdown thrown over my head in my college career, and not to mention, I did on Wednesday of practice that week. Tweak my hip flexor. So I was playing not 100%.
I'm not an excuse guy, but it sounds like you got a good excuse there.
But I was not going to miss the Michigan game. So, whatever.
All right. Well,
we still won the game.
But Lima was right, though.
He was right.
Like, factually, he was. Like, factually, he was right.
He didn't have to take a shot at me like that.
Shouldn't you just be impressed that he just remembered the one time that you got burnt so badly? It's kind of, I think it's almost
really,
cool.
I went to turn and run. We were playing three deep zone, and Braylon just sprints right past me. And Chad Henning's the quarterback, and he just throws up this rainbow. I mean, Henning used to throw rainbow tosses to Braylon and just say, "Go get it." And I just nothing I could do about it.
They probably walk back to each other and like, "Oh, pitch and catch, no big deal. Pitch and catch. We got Fox. We got number 37."
And many battles against Braylon Edwards.
Yeah. 216-578-1092. So you won more than you lost, is all you're saying.
He got me that one time. I was matched up with him probably another, I don't know, 40 times in my career.
Yeah.
Maybe more. Probably more than that.
You got the better of it. And you said you were listening to a little bit of the morning show.
The end of the show. The last couple of seconds, I caught a bit of it.
Did you catch any of all the interview with the Columbia School superintendant?
I did not catch that part. No.
All right. I did. And I thought it was very interesting for a lot of different reasons, right? Like, he couldn't find any advantages to opening up the NIL for these students. I think he came across from a good spot. Like, I do believe that in protecting the kids to a degree. I just don't understand why this is the point where we feel like kids need to be protected. Why is it like when we're trying to throw money into their pockets and this is the point where we need to come out and all of a sudden have the biggest worry about what goes on in their lives and their livelihood? And it feels like, I don't know, it just felt a little bit inauthentic by everyone that voted no on this measure. And I understand some of the other parts of this. I understand that adding on people to control this and giving out more and doling out more duties and paying more people to go ahead and supervise the whole ordeal is a pain in the butt. I know it. But I feel like this is one of those things that'd be for the greater good of the students and greater good for the kids that are 14 through 18 and get a chance to get some dough in the pocket, Dustin.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity for the kids out there. I mean, think about this. There are a lot of kids now that in high school are celebrities already. I mean, in terms of their social media presence, their TikToks, their Instagrams, their Twitters, you know, they've got a huge following. And that's what companies are looking for, is somebody to, you know, be a face of a brand, whether it be a local dealership or, you know, something on a national brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're seeing this in college athletics. I don't know why we are limiting high school athletes from taking part in the same thing. It's not breaking the law. I mean, you're allowed to have a job in high school. This is the same thing. I mean, you're just working basically for, you know, you're working with your name.
And you're also
we're heading down that path. Nine states have already passed this.
Yeah, we're 100% going there. I just wondered, and the takeaway I got was that Ohio didn't want to be one of the guinea pigs, right? Like, it's always weird in society. I feel like if you're on the cutting edge of something, you're the one taking all the risks, and until it gets, you know, more approval on a national level, then a lot of these other places, they're not going to be as accepting to just dip their toes in the water. It's just harder for people for whatever reason. Whether we're talking about drafting a kicker in the second round, or whether we're talking about something as simple seeming as this is, right? It takes one, two, three, four, five people to be the guinea pig, to go out and do it first. And you said the nine states that approved it. Okay, great. Ohio just didn't want to be number 10. They didn't want to be the 10th to go ahead and say, we're passing this, we're making this work, and we're going to be on the cutting edge of this. They decided, we'll wait and see how you guys do it, and then we'll come back and revisit this discussion, which is just stupid. You're just kicking the can down the road. It's going to get here eventually.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a problem with it? Do you think that high school athletes shouldn't be able to make money off their name, image, and likeness?
No, I do believe they should be able to make money. And I here's the part that worries me, though, just being honest about it. Like, the University of Texas, they have something called the Pancake Program. Have you heard of this?
I have not.
It's for offensive linemen. So you go to the University of Texas. If you're an offensive lineman, you make $50,000 per year, no matter what. So it incentivizes people to go play offensive line and be a Longhorn, right? Because you're making 50 grand being a lineman at Texas, where you wouldn't have made it being a lineman at Cal. Pretty sweet. The linemen don't get paid cash like that, right?
Right.
But the program was like, yeah, we believe that the game is one of the trenches, so let's do that. What if St. Ed's or St. Ignatius sets up a program with the local ice cream shop where the quarterback gets $2,500, whoever QB1 is for St. Ed's or St. Ignatius or Menor or any of these schools, you get $2,500 to be QB number one. Moment that you're named that job by the head coach, you get the check, it's deposited to whatever bank account you want, and then life moves forward. I feel like that part seems a little off to me. I like them making money, I just don't like the idea of, like, if you play this position, then all of a sudden you get rewarded that way. I am way more in favor of the idea that if you start a TikTok, and you use football as the reason for why the TikTok exploded, and some water company or some shoe company is like, we think you're funny. We think your content's great.
But it's not.
You're different than everyone else. We want to pay you money for this. Then go ahead.
But you're famous because of football.
We are famous because of football. And this is where this becomes a little interesting, right? Like the D'Amelio sisters. You ever heard of them?
I have not.
They have the more followers on TikTok than any other people in TikTok, right? The one girl.
Like millions.
She's got 175 million. Right?
Wow.
Like they're
what do they do?
They're more popular than Obama. It's insane.
What do they do?
They dance. They do dances.
Are they good dancers?
Yeah. Like they were legitimate dancers at some point in life, and then they moved to making dances on TikToks, and they've exploded. They have a Hulu show and everything attached to it, right? So like they, in high school, got to make hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars all because they were really good at this. If they had used soccer as their avenue to try to make money and were just showing off really cool trick shot soccer videos, would the NIL have had an issue then? Like, they probably would have in what we're talking about, and that's where I think there's something wrong there.
I hear you. I mean, like, there was the kid, remember the kicker from Central Florida who was doing the trick shot videos?
Oh, yeah.
And he gave up his scholarship.
That's right.
And said, I'm just going to make money off of YouTube, because they basically banned him from making the YouTube videos.
And this part, like, this to me seems the most interesting only because I just don't like uncharted waters. Maybe it's because I'm thinking about my own future kid, and hopefully by the time I have a kid in high school, this will all be resolved and won't be an issue. But let's be honest about it. My kid has a higher chance of being Jimmy Fallon than he does Jimmy Butler. It's just reality, right? So, like, if my kid is like, I want to make funny TikToks, and I want to make content based around bowling or golf trick shot videos while injecting humor in it, but then wants to play on the high school golf team, is the high school golf team going to turn around and say, no, you can't play because you got a water sponsorship deal that has nothing to do with your actual ability to play golf or to play or to bowl or to do baseball or anything else? Like, it's just they're independent of each other. And that's the part that I'm hung up on. It that just kind of bothers me.
It's going to pass. It's not going to be long until this does pass in the state of Ohio. We're headed that direction. I don't know what the difference is. I mean, you're a student athlete in high school, you're a student athlete in college. To me, it's the same deal.
Even though you're under the roof of your parents, even though you have parental guidance, you can't you're supposed to be protected at that age, right?
And sure. But why are these kids who I see on American Idol who are 16 years old getting record deals?
I know. Well, this has been
they're under their parents' guidance. They're making money.
It's true
for their craft.
That's true. 100% true.
Right.
And but that's why it fell short to me earlier today when I was listening to the Columbia school superintendent, because it came across like we're here to try to make sure that nobody gets at these kids and we protect these kids. And it's like, well, wait a second.
Who's going to get at them? I mean, if the student athlete wants to or parents want to hire an agent for the kid, what's wrong with that? That's what they're doing in college.
Well, now I think we're talking about like the 1% of the 1%, right? Because now, like in that instance, we're talking about the Arch Mannings of the world, right?
Okay.
We're talking about, and again, this is maybe a positive reason as to why they need to go and continue to go down this road. I'm trying to think of like the LeBron, Bryce Harper-esque players that we knew at 15 years old that were just going to be awesome that never turned out to be anything. Lenny Cook is basketball's version of this. He was awesome in high school, one of the top high school players in the country, and never got paid the way that he should have at any point in life beyond that, right? Marcus Dupree, the best that never was. They made a whole 30 for 30 about him. That dude should have made so much money in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are we robbing those guys from making a dollar or two?
LeBron James should have made millions and millions of dollars in high school. I remember people like LeBron at the end of his career, I believe, this was so long ago, he got like this Hummer.
And you're going to bring up the Hummer.
He got these jerseys
out of the back of the car. Yeah.
And
well, the Hummer wasn't for free. He put the Hummer in Gloria's name, right?
Okay, but they got it for free.
Yeah, well, it was extremely shady. It just was. But like, it shouldn't have had to come to that. He should have, if he should have been able to go ahead and get that taken care of without any questions asked. But is that weird, though, Dustin? Is that weird if all of a sudden a shoe company comes up to a 15-year-old and they start getting in like a bidding war over a 15-year-old soccer player and what cleat they're going to wear? Or even better yet, a 16-year-old running back and what shoe they're going to wear when they're posting their Instagram pics?
Yeah, remember this. LeBron was suspended for taking $845 worth of jerseys.
That's just stupid. That's insane.
He was ruled ineligible.
Yeah, no, it was a major story. Cool Ray up next on The Fan. Hello, Cool Ray. How are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, what's up, Dust? Hey, you know what? I think, Dustin, you're looking at this wrong, man.
Okay.
These are high school students. They're still students. They're still learning. And we both know, including you, because you play at the highest level. The only time you play whatever sport you choose to play for out the love of the sport is when you go to high school. Because once you're in college now, you're on a scholarship, you're doing for other things, and blah, zee, blah, zee, blah, zee, blah. But if a parent, now, if your son, if the parent wants to then, let's say he's a highly recruited high school athlete, if he can make money off of that and the parents does that, if his grades suffer, then that's all on the parent. But you have to protect these kids because of the fact that if you got some kids who are phenomenal athletes, and we know they're going to make it to the pros, even in high school, we see it. But you got some parents out here who only care about the bottom dollar and what them kids can do for them. So you have to still protect them and keep the innocence of the game, the sport, and these high school students before they get corrupted by their parents and agents. They're going to have plenty enough time to do that if and when that time comes. But in high school, you got to keep it 100% the way it is right now. And that's just to protect everybody involved.
All right, Cool Ray. I appreciate your insight. Dustin? I can tell you're not buying it.
I've said my piece on this. And I think that it's going to pass. I think the kids, you're not getting paid by anybody other than somebody who thinks you're valuable.
Yeah. You still have to have an extreme talent.
There's not a stipend check that everyone's going to get. I mean, if you're a backup on the varsity basketball team, you're not going to make any money. I'm sorry.
Right. You probably won't even get a hoodie.
Yeah. And probably very few athletes are going to make money off of this, but if you are Mr. Football, in the state of Ohio, someone's probably going to want a piece of that.
And I like that. I like the idea of Mr. Ohio cashing in. And you're right. It is the 1% of the 1%. The same way in college, it's the 1% of the 1%. You know, each quarterback gets paid money. How many other guys at Eastern Michigan is getting paid a lot of money? You know what I mean? How many guys in even some of the bigger programs are getting paid extra money?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.